You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Sunny days chasing the clouds away. On our way to where the air is sweet. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? How to get to Sesame Street? Today's review is brought to you by the letters T and C.
Oh, that's my intro. Thank you very much.
So, TC, I know we're over here at One of Us Lane, but I heard over there in Sesame Street, they've got awesome shops and awesome people, like Luane, who runs the fruit shop over there.
That's right.
Hey.
And they have big friends like Big Bird and Tessa and Ripley, who shoots aliens. That's kind of weird to have on the street, but hey, they're pals, so we allow it, because we're diverse over there.
Get your hands off her, you bitch.
I mean...
Well, Blue Sky.
ABCs are great. Can't say bitch without itch? I don't know.
So, since we're all here and we're all headed down to the land of Big Birds and Oscar the Grouches and very nice people who live in a representation of Harlem, I thought maybe we could take our One of Us review of Street Gang, How We Got to Sesame Street, and maybe make some new friends. What do you think?
Yay!
Oh, by the way, I'm Mindy the Muppet, and would any of you like to go into the synopsis of our review?
Do we have to do it in that voice?
Well, I mean, it's up to you, but
no,
I'm judging
don't.
You.
The short version is basically, this is how Sesame Street happened, and what it took to get made, and how fantastic and life-changing it was, probably for everybody on this podcast and anyone listening to it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the deal.
It follows the inception of the idea of wanting a children's show that could educate and entertain, to finding Henson and bringing him on board to craft Sesame Street. And it takes us all the way to Jim Henson's passing. So the first 20 years condensed, especially those early years of figuring out the show, figuring out how to speak to children, what this show can and did for an entire multiple generations of children, is pretty much right out of the gate. And mm-hmm. and all the love and care and passion and determination that the people who created this, I'll let everyone else talk, of course, but the thing that cracked me up right from the beginning that talks to the spirit of these people is they open up by going, hey, you person we're going to talk to first, good job creating Sesame Street. Oh, no, it wasn't me. It was so-and-so. Okay, hey, so-and-so, you were given credit for creating Sesame Street. Me? No, it wasn't me. It was so-and-so. And they just kept, it was never anyone saying it was me. It wasn't Jim Henson. It was this group of people. And I love that right from the gate, it's all this kindness that's like, we did this together. We're a family.
That was one thing, too, is that the main takeaway was, you know, growing up, I thought it was just Henson. I thought this was Henson's idea. Henson put it together. It was a big old Henson thing. Mm-hmm. Only to find out, it's like, no, he was actually brought in later. It was this, you know, this woman. I loved the line is like the woman whose idea first started it, which I forget
Joan
her
Cooney.
Name. Thank you.
Yep. Dwayne is on it.
It's like
star sticker for you.
Oh, man. Yes. She was amazing to watch in this.
Yes. But it's like one of the lines, if I remember it right, was, this is what happens when you take television and make it with love instead of advertising.
Basically, yes.
That's beautiful. And also Michael Stowe?
Yes,
and the focus on him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this dude was such, he was a producer and he put so much love into it and just all the, you know, this heart's blood into this show that I knew nothing about. I'm so glad that they honored him because that was one of his big things was like, I want this to be a legacy. Well, I mean, he didn't say it like that, but that's
the amount of work he wanted.
That's what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he got honored by that. And then going back to TC to the like, no, it's not me, it's this person. If you go through the credits, they're singing a song, one of the songs about like Ernie playing a saxophone with a rubber ducky. It goes to all of these people that worked on the show singing along with it.
So put down the ducky.
Yes.
Put down the ducky.
And it was wonderful.
Every time a character pops up, not just the Muppets, obviously we can identify the Muppets, but Gordon, the one that I grew up with, the one that pretty much everyone knows.
Right.
Maria, Louise, Bob. Yes. Like every time they popped up, I'm like, oh, it's Maria. Oh, like before their names could even be credited. Aww. And the bits and the songs and the cartoons that are just ingrained into my very being.
I was like, oh yeah, I remember that short.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Uh-huh. It was such a weird thing watching that show as a kid because that wasn't a neighborhood, obviously, that I was familiar with.
Right.
But since I effectively always grew up with that, it never occurred to me that it was weird for there to be neighborhoods that were all predominantly one thing or another, you know, or one particular group or another. Because on that show, everybody looked different and they all got along and everything was cool and everybody was fun. I mean, you have a world in which there are green people. Mm-hmm. So, right? I mean, it's not weird to see that happen, but it never occurred to me just how significant it was until I heard about, like, I was waiting for it to happen because they were going through it kind of chronologically, what was going on when we get to Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember hearing about that when I was not a little kid, but I remember there being controversy about the show. And I was like, why in the hell would there be controversy about this show? This is amazing. Everybody's wonderful. Everybody gets along. I'm learning stuff. I'm learning different languages.
It's a bit too colorful. If right. You understand what I'm like, saying. And we don't feel like that's appropriate.
Go ahead and say that right out.
Like, well, that was one of the things that it's like, I really loved about this documentary was that it's like, you know, we all grew up with it. And for us, it's perfectly normal. It's like, yeah, we got some Latinos over here. We got some black people here. We have this Muppet over here. And they're all living in harmony and all getting along and all that stuff. But watching it, they pointed out as an adult, you're like, holy shit, that was revolutionary at the time. And because it was so effective, we don't realize that it was revolutionary. Yeah. It was just, this is normal.
This is just how it is.
And that is one of the beautiful, wonderful things about this show. And then some of the actors too. I think the guy who played Luis, which by the way, I thought the people actors went by their real names. I did not realize
I know.
They were characters. but it's one of the things that he talked about is like, it was hard getting roles for Latinos that weren't massive stereotypes. And here I was just like, I was just a dude who was also Latino on the show and how amazing that was. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that is one of the biggest legacies of the show is being like, here is normalcy and normalcy is diversity. And that's good. And as I said, it's like us as kids growing up with that, that now becomes ingrained in us. And it's like, yeah, this is good. And because we grew up with it, it isn't, weird and unnormal, which it was when it was made. And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
As much as the education angle of it is very critical to the success of Sesame Street and knowing how to speak to children without speaking down to them, one of the most important things that I feel came out of Sesame Street that continues to come out of it to this day, speaking to the proudness of the diversity and the proudness of being, edgy. Mm-hmm. There's a quote from Ms. Cooney as well, who says, like, if our biggest sin is that we're diverse, then I'm a sinner. But I think one of the greatest things Sesame Street did was instill empathy and understanding and an open-mindedness in children through this show. It's beautiful. And how that affected the adults who watched it with them. I love it.
And that too, one of the things that I always loved about Sesame Street as well was, you know, I realized later on that Mr. Rogers did this too, but that
it never shied away from serious topics, and it still doesn't. Like, you know, they focused on the guy who played Mr. Hooper, who the actor died in real life. And I remembered that happened before I was born, but I certainly heard about it and how they address that in the show. It's like, guess what? Kids are going to deal with death.
Let's teach them about it.
Yep.
Let's teach them about it. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you know, they're still doing that. Like, I know there was a Muppet whose parents were in one of his parents was in jail.
Yes.
There's one with a Muppet that had AIDS.
Right.
Mm.
They still focus on topics that a lot of shows are like, oh, no, we can't let the kids look at this. And it's like, well, then what's the kid going to do when they have to deal with it?
Yeah.
So we're going to help them deal with it. And that, again, beauty of the show.
Well, that's just it. I mean, their goal was representation, right? Like, that you were going to have kids that look like kids in neighborhoods that these kids were going to see. I mean, they were clearly targeting the term they use is inner city. We all know what they mean. They mean poor and probably not white.
Yeah.
And
well, they said that is right. Like they wanted their outreach to be porch, and they made a distinction. It's like, yes, this would be more geared towards people of color because they tended to be poor because of systematic racism in the country. They made a point to be like, it's because the poor conditions, and like, we're going to reach them because they're the ones that are left behind. And that, again, the fact that that was the focus.
Right.
Beautiful.
But you know, you've talked about that with the other thing, because I mean, they've had a homeless Muppet. Right. They have a Muppet with autism and, you know, all these things, because it's still continuing to do the thing they do, which is to make this a show about experiences children have that often they're dealing with on their own. They don't have anyone who's talking to them about it. So great. We have a Muppet who can talk to you about that. And I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Sesame Street as a whole and how awesome it was and not so much about the movie because it was. But the movie really is, it's a history of, I think TC, you said basically, effectively the first 20 years of the show, right?
Yeah.
Right up till Henson's passing. And how many shows do you watch or did you ever watch as a kid that still exist decades after you've stopped watching them?
Simpsons.
And are still, huh?
Simpsons.
Simpsons. Okay.
That's the one. But people don't even like that show anymore. People still like Sesame Street.
But it's still an evolving show, right?
And this documentary focuses on the philosophy that created Sesame Street. The ideas that were put in place from the very beginning that echo to this day and how important that was in shaping a generation and the generations to follow. And even more so, this documentary focuses on those people that were so critical to how we got to Sesame Street, how we all got there. The Mr. Hooper section and focusing on death, the sequence that follows that, talking about the passing of Jim Henson. Strangely, the Mr. Hooper passing and how they handled that through Big Bird's perspective and the adults speaking to him about that, I'm weeping watching it. I'm actually like choking up now even remembering it. Yeah. When they get to Henson's passing, the blow, this is how good the documentary is. This is how good Sesame Street is. The blow of losing Henson and knowing that's coming as an adult wasn't as hard as Mr. Hooper passing. For me, watching it, like, it's the craftsmanship of the documentary and the craftsmanship of Sesame Street to give you this sweet, perfect little understanding of what death is and what it can mean and what it can do, and then discussing Jim's passing, it was almost easier to watch.
That's a good segue. Yeah, I did appreciate, like, any documentaries like I've seen before this about Sesame Street or Jim Henson or The Muppet Show, it's always, they always focus on the talent. They always focus on the Jim or the voice actors and not the rest of the cast and crew. And so that's what I really appreciated about this. It kind of dug a little bit deeper and I got a better understanding of the show as a whole. I watched like a lot of documentaries for, you know, like puppet making and stuff like that. Like, how did it get made? You know, I watched a lot of those, you know. Being a fellow puppet maker with a TC here, we had to get on this this review when we heard about it. It was, yes, shit, yes, let's do this. But yeah, when I was a kid, I was obsessed.
Me too.
I was obsessed with finding Sesame Street. Like, as a child, I believed it was a real place, which it is technically, I suppose. There's a set. Just in the same way that some kids were obsessed with finding Neverland, you know, second star to the right and straight on till morning. And I was just like, all right, someone give me the directions of Sesame Street. Like, seriously, how do I get there?
I want to go be there.
Yeah. And so I was obsessed and have been a big Jim Henson fan for a long time, making puppets and fiber art and all that stuff. And I loved any of the movies he worked on. You know, it was like he did the outfits for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the original films. Like they made those suits and people had to perform in those suits. It was nuts. They're very well made. I mean, they maybe didn't hold up till now because, you know, that's the nature of foam rubber latex. Mm-hmm. It just decays over time. I mean, I think we've all seen that horrifying photo of Hoggle that they found in storage somewhere.
Oh, yes. Melted.
Deteriorated. Nightmare fuel. But yeah, this documentary handled it very well, just touching on just how it got started, like we're all saying, you know, the diversity, which, like you guys said, if it's done well, you don't even notice it because they don't try to bring attention to it. They're not like, you see this thing we're doing? You see this thing we're doing? They just did it. They didn't try to be like, oh, look what we're doing, you know?
You're great to point out that they speak about the talent, as we've sort of talked about this documentary,
right,
delving into the people that crafted and created this. One section that, I love this whole documentary. I don't think I'm like hiding that fact, but there were new things to be enlightened by about why Sesame Street is so great, why the Muppets are so great. And one section in particular was the music and talking to the guy who composed hundreds of songs that we all know because they were so catchy and so sweet and taught us things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? The Not Easy Being Green. And
the
also
analysis
about,
of that and realizing how many layers are to that song that caused, and then it played it and you realize this analysis and you know, you're sobbing through it.
I still sing Rubber Ducky.
Oh,
Rubber Ducky's great.
Yes, all the
Rubber
time.
Rubber Ducky, you're the one. Or quack, quack.
C is for a cookie. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, it just sticks. It sticks. And that was their whole thing is they like, how do we teach kids? Well, they memorize things through jingles, so let's do music.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's early on in the documentary. They talk about targeting, using advertising techniques because kids are singing beer ads. Mm-hmm. Why don't we teach them the alphabet?
Yeah,
why don't we sell them the letter A?
Yeah.
You know?
We had to do that with our children. We had to start muting TV commercials because they had picked up all of them. And so when they were talking about how, you know, they're using advertising and you'll kids can tell you all about these beer, why can't we tell them about letters? And I'm like,
yeah,
exactly. That's how that works.
Wrap your little child mind around this, because it was on PBS, no commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And when PBS was going to cut funding, HBO snatched that Sesame Street up and continued to present that without advertising because it's about the show.
Yeah, I think it's so weird that Big Bird is different colors in different countries.
Yes. Look that up. Google that, folks.
That is really weird.
That blew my mind when I found that out recently. I was like, say what? I think someone did a post about it and they're like, I saw this on TV and I thought I had slipped into another dimension or had lost my mind or had gone colorblind or was having a stroke. But no. Big Bird's different colors in different countries.
And we've talked a lot about how much we love Sesame Street and how much we love this documentary for presenting it. How do you feel as a documentary it holds up?
I think it's really good. I echo a lot of what you guys were talking about with the technical stuff, behind the scenes stuff, the stuff that you don't ever think about. And as somebody who tangentially works in entertainment, it was interesting to see that get acknowledged in the way that it did. That they talk about the producer of the show, right? The guy who's effectively running the show, and they spend a lot of time with him. And I thought, that's kind of amazing. I also liked the little bits where they added in their children and they talked about what it was like for them to be part of this world.
I loved that.
I got a huge kick out of Holly Robinson Pete talking about, because her dad was the first Gordon for that first season.
Yes.
About how she felt watching Gordon walking around with this other little girl that was about her age and the show and all that. And I'm like,
why are you holding her hand? What's up?
And I'm like,
wait a minute.
I never thought about this stuff, but it was amazing to have that brought up.
How'd you get in that box, Daddy?
Nobody's going to, maybe if you're in Mississippi in the late 60s, you're going to not love Sesame Street. But like, nobody going into this is probably going to watch it going, God, I hate Sesame Street. Why did they make this thing?
Yeah.
It's already halfway there for me as a viewer because I get a nostalgia hit, like a ton of nostalgia hits. But to see the technical stuff, the behind the scenes stuff, the acknowledgement of the other people who aren't Jim Henson or Frank Oz in the creative process. I want to know more about Joan Cooney. and all of that. Her quote, that was the first note I had,
yes,
was her quote about essentially children and advertising and educating them. She needs way more acknowledgement in the rest. I mean, the documentary spends a lot of time with her, and a lot of that stuff gets out there. But I really want people to see this movie for that reason. You're going to get the dopamine hit from, woo, Sesame Street. But there's all of this stuff about how really important it is. We all talk about how important it is, and we all know it is. But like, to really see how important and groundbreaking this show really was, you know, for something that has just always existed for all of us. It was kind of amazing to see those little things and the reality of this shared fantasy we all have. It was
the documentary itself and how it's crafted is even crafted like Sesame Street is itself, where this isn't a hard hitting, let's get to the nitty gritty, let's talk about the betrayal of Frank Oz and all the dirty secrets. No, it's not that at all. This is a documentary that you could show a child who might have a curiosity in the process of making Sesame Street, not to destroy the illusion of it, but say a toddler who moves into adolescence and a 10-year-old, 11-year-old who is developing, like a young Tessa who's developing a love for puppets and whatnot, to present a documentary like this to them, to be able to have a conversation about what's being talked about and enlightening a child and an adult in the same way that the show did. So as a whole, as a documentary, no, this isn't going to have any dark revelations. It's going to enlighten and it's going to educate in a way as well.
So how about we get into our final thoughts? Tessa, what do you and Ripley got to say?
Oh gosh. She's already went off to fight Xenomorph, so I don't know. Like I said, this was different than other Jim Henson or Sesame Street or Muppet documentaries that I had seen. And I feel like they touched on a broad swath of time and topics with relative ease and segueing from one thing to the next without any problem, without missing a beat. It does have that nostalgia kick, like Luane says, and me being a puppet maker, I'm obviously biased. So I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 googly eyes.
And what about you, Mr. Luane?
Sesame Street is probably one of my earliest memories. I mean that literally, like, because I was, when I was first aware of television as a thing and all the memories, there were two channels where I lived. One was German, one was American. Mm-hmm. And the American channel had kids stuff in the morning, and that included Sesame Street. So right from the beginning, Sesame Street existed for me. And I wasn't around for its beginning. It was a couple years old by the time I was watching it. But it was fantastic to watch for all the reasons we always talk about, right? But it was just, it was fascinating to see other kids who were dealing with weird crap sometimes and how it doesn't matter. I can keep telling you how great it is. As a documentary, I think it's superb. I think it hits all of the things you need to know about this show, and you really need to know these things. And it touches on some of the stuff that wasn't as great, but it doesn't hammer on them, like TC was saying. It's not a gritty expose. It is as close to perfect as a documentary I've ever seen. And so I'm going to have to give this like 5 out of 5. I've literally never done that with anything on this before, but it absolutely deserves it. And if you think there are flaws in it, that maybe it's not perfect, I don't care, man. it is the best thing I've seen in a long time, and it deserves to be seen by everybody who's even tangentially been touched by Sesame Street.
And that's actually in the end credits. It's like, this is dedicated to everybody who grew up with Sesame Street. That's one of the last things that documentary says. It's like, this isn't just for us, it's for you. And how about you, TC?
This look back at the foundation of Sesame Street and the history of this incredibly important world is touching and adorable. And if you have any love for the Muppets and this street, this documentary is going to make your heart flutter. There are movies and shows and franchises that are touchstones in all of our lives. And while some of those properties can feel commercialized or corporatized, some of them remain special and were practically pure in their inception. Pixar, Studio Ghibli, even Adult Swim exists with a similar love and determination that we have to thank for the creation of Sesame Street. The hearts and souls that created these things echo through generations to this day. That love and care with earnestness and determination made Sesame Street. And that's why it's so formative to more than a couple of us and the children that are going to continue to come. I love Henson, and I particularly love the early years of the Muppets. The rough edges, the seams, the rods that you can see, the education and the entertainment. To anyone who has been formed by these beings, these felt beings and the hands that made them, this is a love letter to you. It's beautiful and it's well worth the watch. And Street Gang gets a glowing 9 out of 10 rude Oscar the Grouch outtakes.
Yes, that was one thing, watching the Muppets swear. I love the fact that they had those bloopers in there. Yeah, I very much echo what all of you are saying. I mean, I watched Sesame Street far longer than the demographic, and I say that with pride.
No such thing.
I fucking love that show. And as you said, there's a great way of putting it. This documentary is very much a love letter to Sesame Street. And I loved the fact that they did focus on all the aspects of it, not just the performers and the Muppets that we know so well. Like I said, I only knew Jim Henson as part of it. I didn't know about how it started, about the producer who put his heart and soul into it, about the songwriter who just flowed into It's Not Easy Being Green. Those stories, how it affected the children of the people involved. I mean, learning those just, it adds so much more depth into this thing that is already full of so much love and so much nostalgia and dopamine hits. So as a documentary, it flowed really well, but it is very broad. So if you do want more in depth, this is apparently based on a book.
Gimme.
So maybe you should read it. It's called Street Gang by Michael Davis. So they'll probably have a lot more in depth. That was one thing. This thing is like nearly 2 hours, and yet it's like, I want to know more. But at the same time, it's 2 hours.
Yeah, where's more?
So you can't really be any more. And yeah, anybody who watched the Sesame Street, anybody like adults who learned English from it, you know, because that happened to many people, and just knowing that this thing has such a legacy, you will just, you'll cry, you'll smile the entire time, because it will just bring back all the memories of growing up with these wonderful characters on this wonderful street. So yeah, I'm gonna give it 9.5 Big Birds with Mr. Snuffleupagus finally being friends, because originally people didn't realize Snuffleupagus was real.
And he's his imaginary friend.
What color Big Bird?
Right? Yeah, that was actually one thing my mom told me about, is that originally, that was one of the mistakes they made, was the introduction of Snuffleupagus, because only Big Bird knew he existed, and he'd always disappear when people would come up. It's like, no, I have this friend. But then they realized, oh, telling a child that they won't be believed is probably not the best way to go about doing things. So that's how Snuffleupagus became a major scene character in the show. So it's like, even they know when they make mistakes, and they fix them.
Course correct.